Today is Bob Breeze's last day at the Energy Department. He's stepping down as the Chief Information Officer there, and he leaves right before Energy starts a technology consolidation program that he's helped to plan for the last 2 years. Keith Trippi is Chief Executive Officer of the Trippi Group and former Executive Director of the Enterprise System Development Office at the Homeland Security Department. He has some predictions for how the roles of future CIOs will change in the next few years. He's writing about them on federalnewsradio.com. Keith, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining me today. This piece is called Information to Strategy, the Future Transformation of CIOs. And you write that the discussion about the CIO authority and role needs to be more about how the CIOs position themselves to better meet the needs of the agency and deliver value. That sounds like you're giving the CIOs a lot of autonomy on their own to determine how people view them, Keith. Is that a fair discernment on my part?
Yeah, Francis, happy Friday. So I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this. And look, at the end of the day, there's a lot of discussion. It's been going on for years, ever since Clinger-Cohen, about the right amount of authority that a CIO should have. And I think that debate will probably rage on for years. So instead of looking at a topic that's probably not going to resolve itself, why don't we flip the model around and say, if the CIO were the trusted advisor of the CFO, other lines of business chiefs, the mission owners, and senior leadership of an organization, I think the topic of authority kind of washes away, because that individual will become the go-to person that folks are going to want to go to for the agency, because they're going to help folks get things done. And I think that's where the pivot position is, and the opportunity for CIOs over the next 5 to 10 years to become trusted advisors, not the folks that do the technical.
How much of this then becomes positioning from the CIO's perspective? And, well, okay, I'm going to reshape that, because it turns into a chicken and egg question. Do I, as the CIO, become a trusted advisor, or do I, as a CIO, do the things to become a trusted advisor and gain that standing through actions rather than through a campaign to become the trusted advisor? You see what I'm getting at?
Completely agree. This is a lot less about marketing a CIO to become a trusted advisor. Like anything else, Francis, you've got to earn it. And so the way I look at how they can earn it is every day, day in, day out, they're out in the field, they're working with service center people, operations centers that are out there, they're working with law enforcement officials and agents that are out in the field, they're working with the folks in the military that are out in theater, they're working with the CFO folks as they look to prepare the five-year budget planning. They are involved with the strategic direction, as well as have a finger on the pulse of what is delivering value to the mission. And it's not going to happen overnight.
You're suggesting in this piece, Keith, that this will bring about even a name change of the position. What I see, you write, for the CIO of the future is the chief strategy officer. It doesn't exist today, but that position will develop over the next 5 to 10 years. What does that transition look like in your view? And how much of it is dependent on the CIO at each individual agency saying, I'm just going to start doing this, and make somebody stop me from doing it and earn my way into this position as a strategy officer, even if they never actually change the name on my business card?
Sure. And I think if you're ever pointing at the name on your business card, that's probably not the right role for you. So I think it's less about that. I think it's more about the opportunity for a CIO to get engaged in the planning, programming, budgeting, and execution process. Every agency goes through it. It's an 18-month cycle. The CFO and the Undersecretary for Management typically are leading those initiatives at agencies. I think it's a great opportunity for the CIO to collaborate and partner with the CFOs on that initiative. On execution, where the dollars are being expended, I think the CIOs have a great opportunity to help transform the way contracts are drafted for IT services. And so what I mean by that is less 50-page requirements documents and one-page requirement that says here's the business objectives, and the second page would be some high-level technical objectives, and make them performance-based contracts. That's one way to free the CIO up from the day-to-day minutiae that can be tied with a typical CIO's responsibilities.
So you write typical CIOs today are 70% plus IT and less than 30% business. The easiest way to think about that CTO or CSO position is that they'll flip from IT-centric to business-centric. That means they'll spend 70% of their time on the business side, 30% on the IT side. Maybe the potential threat that I see there to the current cohort of CIOs, maybe some of the less secure ones, is it doesn't sound like you necessarily need to be the technology geek at your agency. It sounds like somebody can come in from a business management experience perspective and be a successful chief strategy officer, Keith.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I would love to see more MBAs on the business card than computer science degrees. Because if you're doing computer science, you're focused on a computer screen and you're focused on information that's in a computer screen. You're not having conversations with the folks that are delivering mission for your organization or the business line. So you've got to get out of the office. You've got to get out into the field. You've got to collaborate with the mission and business lines to go get this done. And traditionally, having a background in business will help you have those conversations. Because let's face it, Francis, part of it is a little bit of marketing while you're out there having conversations. Part of it is influence. And you're not going to be able to do that if you're trying to track down where the last BlackBerry went.
Now, we're starting to see this at some places in government. I've had conversations with both Scott Quell, the former CFO at Commerce, and Simone Zickman, the former chief information officer there, about the relationship that they had when it came to building strategy. There are other agencies, and I apologize, they don't come to top of mind right off the top of my head. But they're out there. Those stories exist. And so it strikes me that we're in the fortunate position, Keith, of wanting to perpetuate what we've already had rather than trying to start this concept from scratch.
Yeah, sure, Francis. This is not, I would say, argue a new concept, but I would argue that the bulk of the CIOs today don't fit the model. And I think you kind of helped me make my point there when you couldn't rattle off a few more. Simone, great leadership in his role as he's going to be, you know, moving on and doing other things. There aren't enough of those folks today to help this transformation happen. It started, I mean, you could see the spark of the ember, but it's not a raging fire right now. And I think over the next 5 to 10 years, you will see that transformational shift happen more organically. It's not a decree. It's not an authority discussion. It will happen organically as the right people come in from outside the government to help lead some of that transformational change.
Keith Trippi is Chief Executive Officer of the Trippi Group, former executive at the Homeland Security Department. Now, you also provide some interesting insight into what you think the staff of the Chief Strategy Officer will look like. You write, the new organization, the CSTO as you refer to it, cannot hire the status quo. To achieve what you're laying out in this piece, you write, there's a whole new talent base that has yet to be tapped across the federal space. Who do we need to bring into government, Keith, to support the chief strategy officer and help him or her succeed? And where do we go find them?
So, Francis, I look at this. There's probably about 3 or 4 key positions that really aren't prevalent in the government. And quite frankly, if you looked around for position descriptions that would describe them in the government, it's not as clear as it needs to be. First and foremost, the federal government is a service-based organization. With any service organization, you need robust, customer-centric individuals that ask the question every day, am I easy to do business with? The second set that's really interesting and really new are the data scientists. With the Internet of Things, mobility, cloud, all of these different trends in IT are lending itself to where we need people that understand data, not just from an architecture or an analyst, but more the economics of the data and how different information can be brought together to help make business decisions. The other concept I'll leave you with this thought on is the government, if you think about it at a macro level, is a very, very large insurance organization. And so who better to bring in to help look at the financial aspects, whether it's ROI or whether it's the risk management modules of I'm going to put my money in this bucket and not that bucket. There are trade-off decisions that are associated with that. So what I would recommend, let's go to the insurance companies, let's go to Wall Street, let's go to the hedge funders and create a recruiting pipeline to bring these individuals that know how to manage risk, know the financial aspects of ROI, and start a recruitment to get these folks into the government.
Is the federal government able to compete with the private sector companies on HR type stuff to be able to get those people to come in, Keith?
Fabulous question, Francis. One day, my pen is shaking to write an article about this. No, let me be very clear. Absolutely not. So what can change without changing a lot of the policies? One of the things that I would recommend, a very simple way to do it, set up term appointments, pay these people a healthy sign-on bonus, and let them keep it as long as they're here for, say, a three-year term appointment. Let's figure out a creative way within the existing framework. Don't change any of the HR laws. Just add term appointments and add larger sign-on bonuses, because the appeal, that's what I did. I was in the private sector and came into the government after 9/11. There is an appeal, because the federal government is a large buffet table of great mission space, and it feels good to serve. But you're going to have competitive rates to bring someone making $300,000 in Manhattan into D.C. to do special work around, say, risk and investment management.
You write, had the opportunity a few years back to visit a large financial organization to discuss how that organization leverages IT. You write, my main takeaway was where the CIO's office was in relation to the chief executive officer's office. How many floors down from the CEO was the CIO? None. The CIO sat two doors down from the CEO in a beautiful office overlooking the Hudson. What does that say to you, Keith, and how does that relate to what you've seen across government?
Well, the first thing it said to me, I'm in the wrong line of work.
Which you fixed now, by the way.
Yes, which I've since corrected. What it said to me was the fact and the power that a CIO was equal footing. And by the way, the only person between the CEO and CIO was the CFO, right? So the person that controlled the money and the person that helped drive revenue for an organization, i.e. the CIO, helped with marketing, helped with cutting costs, was just two doors down from each other. So they could stroll into the other's office, open permission to come in, sit down, and have a dialogue. That is not the case. That is not widely practiced across the federal space. But I would argue that the CEO looked at that CIO as that is an individual that is helping me generate revenue for my organization, control my risks, and manage costs. And that is the reason that that individual was only two doors down from the CEO.
Keith, there's great insight in this piece. Thank you for putting it on our site, and thank you for coming on to talk about it with me today.
Hey, Francis, happy to do it. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks very much. Have a great weekend, Keith. Keith Trippi is the Chief Executive Officer of the Trippi Group and former Executive Director of the Enterprise System Development Office at the Homeland Security Department.